high is the price, and can you afford it?
Well, it's a high price. You know, he won the Norris Trophy a couple years ago. He's a true number one defenseman, so the price would be really high to acquire a player like that.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
I wonder if Mark Bergevin is going to send Jim Benning a bouquet of roses for saying that a few hours before his media availability prior to the draft. Hello, Pierre McGuire.
Hey, Connor, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice to hear your voice. So what do you make of Jim Benning coming out and saying, hey, yeah, we've kicked the tires on P.K. Subban, but yeah, the price is high.
Well, they won't be the only team that kicks the tires. That's the biggest thing, but the price has to be high. I think everybody in Montreal knows that. I mean, his name's been out there for a while, but I'd be really surprised if there were any teams that are really going to be capable of making a deal in order to make their team better and still not mess with the integrity of their roster. I think that's going to be the really tough fit for anybody that's interested in PK.
There is a rumor kicking around, Pierre, and I'll just say that it's just a rumor, and I don't buy it, but I'd be curious to get your take on it. It's that Bergevin told Edmonton it's Draisaitl and the fourth is his price, and apparently Edmonton said no. Does this sound like something that makes any sense from any perspective?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I would have expected potentially Montreal to want a little more. If you realistically think about it, the unpredictability of four right now is this. You don't know what Columbus is doing, and you don't know what Winnipeg's doing with their picks. And both of them may very well be in play. Columbus is in play. I can tell you they have definitely dabbled with other teams, Connor, in terms of what's three worth to some of these teams. Because they need to make the playoffs. Enough talk in Columbus. They need to make the playoffs. And right now, based on the way their roster is configured, I think it'd be tough. Now, there's tons of rumors out there about potentially Tampa and Columbus hooking up on a deal. And if that were the case for three overall, if that were the case, then that could change a little bit because of organizational need that Tampa would have if they couldn't keep Steven Stamkos. So that's kind of why this is such an unpredictable and very fluid draft, Connor. There's a lot of moving balls here right now.
Do you have any interest in P.K. Subban? Have you guys talked to the Canadiens?
Yeah, I think there's lots of teams that have reached out to them just to find out what it would take to, you know, try to complete a deal of that magnitude. We've been one of the teams that have talked to them.
Pierre, I'm curious, and there's Benning again. He's talking about that with our colleagues on TSN in Vancouver. From Bergevin's perspective, and we know this, he's a pretty secretive guy. He runs a really tight ship. Is this the type of thing, do you think, that might kind of, I don't know what the right word is to say, but he might be unhappy about Benning coming out and saying this?
Oh, I don't know about that. This has been out there for a while. You also have to remember, too, sometimes agents put things out there. I'm not saying that's the fact of what happened. There's a lot of information that gets put out for various reasons, Connor, and you just never really figure out the source unless somebody gets ratted out. But there's multiple conversations that go on at all levels of hockey, whether it's pro scout to pro scout, assistant GM to assistant GM, agent to assistant GM, general manager to a head coach. It's an amazing science in terms of how this whole thing plays out in the NHL in terms of disinformation in some places and dissemination of information in other places. It's pretty amazing to see how the whole thing plays out. But, I don't think Jim Benning was saying anything out of school. I really don't.
Pierre, there were a lot of rumblings today that the Flames are looking at Ben Bishop out of Tampa. No secret the Flames do need a goalie, but realistically, do you think the Lightning are willing to part with a guy like Bishop, and what would you imagine it would take to make a deal like that happen?
I think they're going to have to think about it, because now, one of the things, again, being around this, I'm in Buffalo now, Amanda, one of the things that's really changed some of the ideology, and it's only happened in the last 24 hours. Keith Yandel's contract has just sent shockwaves around the National Hockey League. Shockwaves. So for the Tampa Bay Lightning, you have another year left of Victor Hedman and another year left of Ben Bishop. If you see what Keith Yandel got, who's a better player, Victor Hedman or Keith Yandel? It's not even close. It's not even comparable. One guy's a Norris Trophy potential winner. The other guy's a depth defenseman that gets points, but is a minus player. Mm-hmm. So that contract has changed a lot of the ideology around the league, because you got expansion and an expansion draft coming up, and your potential to lose one goalie is obviously there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Tampa plays this and how Calgary plays this and a bunch of other teams, how they play things.
And in Tampa, it's not just Hedman. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts there, right, with players who need contracts in the form of, what is it, Kucherov, Palat, Alex Killorn. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Obviously, Stamkos is there as well. They also have some contracts that you might think they'd like to get rid of. You've got Jason Garrison, Matt Carl, Ryan Callahan, $16 million combined that they might use to keep some of those guys around. Do you think that's something that Yzerman explores, is trying to move one or some of those contracts?
Well, first of all, I don't know about moving Callahan. He's a very important part of their team. He's very popular with the coaching staff and management. He's going to require off-season surgery this year. People are concerned about that. He won't play in the World Cup of Hockey because of that surgery. So I think you take him off the table. But your other points are well-founded. There's a lot of definite reality to what you were just saying. I just don't know. Again, Steve's got, again, all those moving parts. And the biggest thing is you've got to – he's got to make a decision one way or the other on Steven Stamkos. About 45 minutes ago, I was talking to a very high-profile Western Conference general manager right in front of the hotel. And I said, why would he just try to do what Chicago did with Kane and Taves? He goes, he tried to do that in December, and the other group took the offer and said, no, that's not good enough. So now you're starting to wonder, are they thinking on the Stamkos side of thing, $12 million a year? And if that's the case, and there's no way they can keep him, and then they got to move him. They got to try to move him in the next 7 to 12 hours probably, so that the team that acquires him can try to make a deal.
Any sense as to what the price would be for something like that?
Well, again, it's different because you're acquiring an unrestricted free agent that probably isn't going to guarantee signing with you unless his agent says, yeah, that's the perfect market, you're going there. And then it could be, you know, a fixed price of maybe a first-round pick, a prospect, and something else. But they're never going to get pure market value for a guy that's won the Rocket Richard Trophy and has a chance to be one of the most prolific scorers in the league over the next 5 years.
And with that time frame that you just outlined, and at the same time, I guess the Red Wings don't have to, you don't have to be cap compliant actually for a couple of months, so they could try to do it and then figure it out. But with this Datsyuk thing and the fact that they've got that $7.5 million of dead space, do you think they can find a taker for that and make a run at him?
A lot of it's going to have to do with who's going to have a hard time getting to the floor. That's how a lot of these teams look at that stuff. For instance, I don't know how many people know Chris Pronger's not a member of the Philadelphia Flyers, even though he's retired and he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. His contract's on the Arizona Coyotes. So the people find ways to move. Mark Savard's contract's not in Florida anymore. It's in New Jersey. So there are a lot of contracts that get moved that, you know, again, don't get a lot of fanfare, that it's to get people to the floor. And I think in this case, I don't know if they'd have a hard time doing that.
Okay. And so as far as your feel for the Stamkos thing at this point, do you have – strictly speaking, a sense one way or another? I realize to an extent that we'd be speculating here, but if you're a betting man, stays in Tampa, hits the market, if so, any idea who might be the front runner?
I never felt he was going to leave Tampa. I had a really long talk with him back in probably late December, early January, and I got the feeling that his heart was still in Tampa based on what he was talking about with his team, about his teammates, about the coaching staff, about the manager, about the ownership group. I never got the feeling that he wanted to leave. I saw him during the playoffs when, obviously, they were playing Pittsburgh, and he was walking with his teammates. He was hanging out with Braden Coburn, Brian Boyle, and Ryan Callahan. They were going to lunch, actually, on an off day in Pittsburgh, and I saw him, and he just seemed so genuinely happy to be with his teammates there in Tampa. So I never really got the feeling he would leave Tampa. That being said, we're right up against the deadline here. I thought a deal would have been done by now, and clearly it hasn't been. But one saving grace, if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, there's been no acrimony in the negotiation, nothing that's gotten out publicly, and I never felt from Steven or from the people at Newport Sports that there was any acrimony in the negotiation.
All right, let's, if we can, circle it back to the Canadians before we wrap things up. I so seldom have a chance to talk to you, Pierre, that I did want to get your take on a couple of different things, sort of stuff that we kick around on the morning show that I never get a chance to ask you about anymore. For starters, I mean, just this, if you are Marc Bergevin, and none of us are, there's only one MB, But what is your number one priority going into this crucial weekend when it comes to your sort of legacy as general manager of the team and this offseason? What's the number one priority for Mark Bergevin right now?
Make your team better, and make your team better without destroying major parts of it. So the way you got to identify your organizational weakness and your organizational strength and go forward from there. Organizational weakness is probably play down the middle and depth on defense because a guy's getting older. You're getting Carey Price back. That's a real positive thing. But you have to make your team better. Now, you're probably not going to be able to make your team a ton better through the draft this year. Right, not right away. It's going to pay off down the road, but not right away. Not with this draft. Because of where the Canes are picking, unless you're able to really jump up. But I would say the big movements for him are going to be come the end of the draft, right to July 1st. That's where the Canes are going to have to be really proactive.
And a report here flying in moments ago that that Ray Ferraro has just told TSN 1050 that he believes there's a greater than 50% chance PK Subban changes teams this weekend. Pierre, I'm sure you, I mean, look, you're a Montrealer. You must have a sense as to how people must be sort of freaking out about this right now. Do you have any advice for fans that really don't want this to happen?
I don't want it to happen either. And it has nothing to do with my relationship with PK, which is really strong and has been long going, you know, ever since he made a World Junior team. And I watched him and just watched him grow as a player and as a person. He was drafted by that team. He's played his way into the hearts and minds of people in that province and fans of that team. If he were to be moved, it better be a home run because they fouled up once trading a defenseman. They fouled up big time trading Ryan McDonough, really big time. And it wasn't this management group, so we want to be fair here. But if they foul up and they do trade PK and they foul up the way they fouled up on Ryan McDonough, you're going to be in a major rebuild for a long time because you don't have a lot of components that can play at the upper echelons of the league right now.
Hard to find guys like that. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, so much talk about him. He looks like he's going to be a heck of a player, and I think a lot of fans in this market would love to see the Canadiens try to move up and get him. It sounds like the price would be high. What do you think? From the Canadiens' perspective, there's got to be at least a little bit of a language perspective. I mean, you love to have a Quebec-born player star on the team. Is there any kind of a problem for you with that mentality?
No. I think if you have a chance to get a player like this, he's a dominant offensive player. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's far better than a point-a-game player than his 2 years playing in the Quebec Major Junior League in Cape Breton. He's an outstanding talent. You're talking about somebody with hands, with size, with skating ability. There are not a lot of flaws in his game. He might only weigh at 200 pounds right now. When he's 21 and 22, he's going to be playing at 225. He's going to be a dominant power forward, dominant. You know, again, I remember back to I'm dating myself, Connor, the 1990 draft, fifth overall, I was in Pittsburgh. We took Jaromir Jagr. He was 18 years old. Well, even though he was a great player at 18, you should have seen him when he was 22. That's how those guys progress. And so I would say that if you could get up and get a chance to get a player like Pierre-Luc Dubois, you should do it. You can do it.
We've had a chance to check in with a couple of people from Buffalo, including Aaron Ward earlier today, who was saying he's expecting some fireworks. It seems like there's a lot of teams with some really valuable draft picks. You mentioned Columbus as a team that has pressure on them to do something to improve, to improve now. Do you expect this to be a busy weekend from a transaction standpoint this weekend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think now that July 1st is going to be as fluid as anything we've ever seen. I really felt that. I've been telling Mitch Melnyk for a long time now that this has got a chance to be just wild, the wild, wild west. And I think part of that, Connor, is because teams are feeling serious pressure from ownership. Teams are looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins and what they were able to do. Even though last December the 12th, they were a team that was out of the playoffs. Most people didn't give them a chance in heck to make the playoffs. But they were able to do it. They made some unbelievably creative, bold stroke moves, and it worked out for them. And that's what managing is. So after what Pittsburgh did, usually owners start to ask pretty hard questions. How come they were able to do it and you weren't? Tell me what's different. Because most of these owners don't know much about hockey. You got an owner in Montreal that's a hockey guy. He played hockey. He knows. He knows the sport. He knows the league. He's got kids that play. He studies it. You're fortunate you have a guy that actually understands it in Jeff Molson. There are a lot of these owners that don't have never played and don't really know what goes on in the league. And so they're trusting other people. But then they start to see other people pass them and they say, hey, what happened here? And that's why there's so much pressure.
Mark Bergevin hits the podium in 10 minutes, Pierre. What would you ask him if you were there?
What's your vision for the team? What type of style do you want your team to play? What kind of players are you going to try to pursue? But the most important thing for the Canadiens is, and I remember talking to Jeff Molson about this, you know, during my interview process up there. You have to have an ideology, a Montreal Canadiens way of doing business. You have to establish that. It comes to the types of players that you draft, the types of players that you acquire, the type of coach that you put in place, the type of assistants that you put in place, the type of power play that you run, type of penalty kill situation that you run. But you need to have an organizational identity. And if you're scrambling and you're all over the place and things are tugging at one another, you're not going to win. The Pittsburgh Penguins did not have an identity at the beginning of the year. They did not. By the end of the year, Connor, what do you think their identity was?
Well, having an injured Carey Price
I'm talking about Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Well, speed and explosive transition game.
There you go. So that's the right. Perfect. You got it. You nailed it. That's what they have. And so they won. They won. They had an identity. St. Louis had an identity. They got to the Western Conference Final. They were going to pile drive you into submission and force you to wave the white flag of surrender. They had an identity. It got them to the Western Conference Final. They didn't win, but it got them there. You know, teams that win have an identity.
All right. Well, it's going to be fun to watch in the next little while. Hey, Pierre, probably the last chance I'm going to get to talk to you this season. Thanks for everything from my standpoint all year long. It's always great having your clips to play on the morning show, and we really do appreciate it. Have a great summer. Enjoy the holiday weekends ahead as well.
Thanks a lot, Connor. I appreciate it. And I guess I'll be talking to Mitch Melnick tomorrow from the draft floor. That'll be fun.
Looking forward.
Amanda, thank you. Take care.
You as well, Pierre.